إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما عباد الله اعلموا أن أحسن الكلام كلام الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد عباد الله my dear brothers and sisters who amongst us over here who claims that he or she does not love money and wealth who can claim that we don't love money or wealth I know that many people might think that they don't like money And they don't like wealth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. He created me, He created you. And Allah knows it's there in our hearts. The love for money and the love for wealth is there in our hearts. قال الله تبارك وتعالى وتحبون المال حبا جما And you love wealth, you love money with passionate love. ألا يعلم الخلق وهو اللطيف الخبير Who knows best? Than the one who created. He created me and you, and he knows that me and you, we love wealth. By nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with this inclination to increase in wealth and increase in our money. There is no harm in loving the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me and upon you. There is no harm in being attached to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made permissible for you to pursue. There is nothing wrong with that. Again, this is ni'mah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said that you love wealth with passionate love, He also said, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ When it comes to the ni'mah, that means wealth and money. When it comes to the ni'mah, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon you, then speak out about it. That means, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mah. Make sure people know that you're really grateful to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do love wealth. And we have this inclination to that. However, because of this passionate love, as human beings, we tend to panic whenever we see a threat coming towards our wealth and our pursuit of what we consider happiness, that means being rich in this life. We tend to fear whenever we see the economy goes down. And I guess you all know since 2008, many people have been struggling. There are many people, they lost their houses, others have lost their jobs. And now the election is over. One of the biggest areas of debate was the subject of economy and bringing jobs back to the country and so on. Everybody talked about the subject. As human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا means man was created, you know, in panic. We're so worried. We always have this anxiety all the time. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا When a person is afflicted by a calamity, by a trial from Allah Azza wa Jal, جَزُوعًا We tend to panic immediately. We don't go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost until later on. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا On the other hand, subhanAllah, if Allah blessed him with wealth and with so much of the ni'am, مَنُوعًا That means they hold back from giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are few people who are considered generous. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورِ And few among my servants are those who are grateful. In terms of number, In terms of ratio, percentage, they are not the majority. Somehow it comes now as we speak about wealth and money at the end of the year. People now they're talking and they start now counting the numbers, waiting for W-2 to come. They want to see how much they earn and how much they owe and how much they're going to give, and now that's when they get credited. Why do I have the best of what I've earned and give it away? You know, in taxes, you start calculating that. But how do we compensate for the loss? How do people usually manage their finances and their money and their wealth? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, inspired us in the Quran and informed us in the Quran that there are resources of wealth that you perhaps, you're not aware of altogether. Naturally, as human beings, when the economy goes down, people, they start thinking of what? Extending their hours, their business hours. Instead of from 10 to 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, they open from 10 to 10, if not even more than that. On the weekend, they open. During holidays, they open. Other people, they take 2 jobs, 3 jobs, all what they're trying to do to compensate for the loss, for the inflation. But there are other sources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you. Promise to Allah so that if you follow these resources, you don't have to claim them in your tax return application, and they're legal and halal. But not so many people are aware of these resources. In this book, in these few words, I would like to share with you the concept of wealth and money from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'll give you 5 resources from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will increase your wealth, increase your money without having to do much effort or take a second job. These are from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, the first thing we need to learn about wealth and money, that al-mal malullah. When it comes to wealth and money, it is the wealth, the money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called malullah. It's the wealth. In the literal translation, you could say the money of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that's not the exact meaning of it. That means the wealth that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الله عز وجل له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما ما تحت الثرى. To whom belongs all of the meaning? He is the ownership of what's there in the heavens and the earth, and everything in between, and even what is there underneath the earth, like oil and treasure, gold, all these mines. That's all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal says, وَأَتُوهُم مِّن مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتَاهُ. That you give, you spend in charity from مَالِ اللَّهِ, the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you. So the money that you have in your hand, it is indeed belongs to Him who created everything subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it will be given to you, but the question comes, why do I have it in my hand then? That's the second point. As an understanding of the Muslim for this world, you are mustakhlafun fi hadha al-mal. Is your trustee. You've been entrusted with this amount and this world. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aminu billahi wa rasooli. Believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. And you give. You give in charity. مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. That from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a trustee. He has put in your hand as a trust in your hand. Give away from that trust that's been given to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْفَقُوا لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Those who believe in that principle, believe in the day of judgment and the after. And anfaqu means they gave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahum ajrun kabir. They will have great reward from Allah azza wa jal. The third point, in regard to the wealth and money that we have in our hands, we need to know and believe that it is considered rizq. Rizq is provision. Allah promised that He shall provide for you. Wa huwa khayru raziqin. And He's the best of those who provide. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم. All you who believe, spend, give away from what we have provided for you, what we have given you as a rizq, as a provision. That's the rizq that Allah promised, that you are not going to leave this world until you fulfill your rizq that was written for you. When you believe, when the angel comes down, according to Hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala wa Allah, Hadith Sadiq al-Masdud, he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sends the angel with the soul of that baby, and the angel breathes the soul in the womb of that woman, And the baby comes alive. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِكَتْبِ أَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ And he will be given the command to write four things. And one of them is what? Your money, your wealth, your risk, your provision. How much you can get in this world? By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's risk from Allah azza wa jal. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu Allah, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he mentioned, قَالَ إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ The Holy Spirit, that's Jibreel alayhi salam. قَالَ إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ قَدْ نَفَكَ فِي رُوحِي أَنَّهُ لَنْ تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَوْفِيَ رِزْقَهَا وَأَجَلًا He said, Jibreel came and whispered to me. He told me something, that no soul shall depart from this world. No one will die. حَتَّى تَسْتَوْفِيَ رِزْقَهَا وَأَجَلًا Until you fulfill two things. Your risk, your provision that was written for you. And your life term. You know, in some cultures, when someone dies young, like you die 15 or 20 years old, what do they say? They say that not as common. If this person died, it's still, he left some life to live. No. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when someone dies, that was their term. That was their term in this world. But the real life is yet to come. That's in the hereafter. And in this hadith, Jibreel inspired to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no one will die. You will not die, you will not leave, you will never leave this world until you finish your risk. One of our mashayikh al-ulama from Medina, Ibn Munawwar, he said that one day, as they were traveling back before, you know, the revolution of the oil, so they used to travel the caravan that goes from Najd, the central Arabian peninsula, on the way to Iraq, in the trade route, basically. There was a small town back then called Hafr al-Bab, it's a big city right now, in the northern region of Saudi Arabia. He said, there was a water well on which there was one person serving it. A Bedouin from the neighborhood, from the area. He used to serve the caravans as they stopped by to take water for their journey toward Iraq in the desert. He said he used to work by himself and he had only one camel that he would tie up to a big bucket that would be dropped into the water well. And then he pulls the camel all the way far away from the well so that it takes the well, the bucket up so he could give the water supply the caravans with water. Since one day, the sheikh was there actually, he was a young boy at the time, he saw the man with no knife as he was trying to grab the rope. He was trying to grab the rope. The panel, the wooden panel underneath his leg and his knee broke and the man fell into the water. He said they pulled him immediately. They just dropped the bucket down, they pulled him out. He was shaky, but he was still alive. So when they pulled him out, he said, are you okay, are you okay? He goes, I'm fine, I'm fine. He said, just milk that camel for me. Give me some milk, I want to drink some milk. That's all he was asking for. So they went and they milked that camel for him, and they brought him some milk. And he just took one or two sips until he was satisfied. After that, when he was good, feeling good right now, he went back to work. He wanted to fix that panel. They told him, it's okay. Why don't we wait until later? Let's bring something else, inshallah, and then you could go back to work. He says, no, let's go on. Let's keep going. And he fixed it. Then he did the same thing. And he said, and then when that bucket went down, and he was about to bring it up right now, as he was pulling the rope, that wooden panel broke again. And he fell into the water again. But this time they pulled him dead. He came out dead. The exact same method of death. And it was only perhaps maybe half an hour, more or less, between the first attempt and the second attempt. The sheikh, he said, the moral of the story, which is a real story, he witnessed himself. He said, Habibullah ta'ala, says the moral of the story is that this man, when he fell into the water well the first time, it wasn't his time yet because his provision was not up. He still had a cup of milk to drink. And he says, therefore, those who just think of the dunya as the source of risk, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the source of risk, he says, take it easy. Take it easy. And think of the one who provides. Don't think of your job, your work, your paycheck to be the source of risk. It's only the provision Allah has given you. But the source of risk was coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said, وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ And He's the best of those who provide subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibad Allah, when it comes to money and wealth, now we know it's risk. But how come we have to see people rich and people poor? What's that? What's going on? Well, that's Allah Azza wa Jal. He decides to give those more than the others. And He decides to give those less than others. But why is that? That's the ibtila from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a test. It is a test. Don't tell me that the rich is more righteous than the poor. And don't say the poor is more righteous than the rich. No, it doesn't matter, wallahi. فَأَتْقَاهُمْ أَتْقَاهُمْ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَفْضَلُهُمْ. The one who is most righteous is the one who is the best. Whether rich or poor, it doesn't matter. As long as you have righteousness in your heart, that's what matters the most. But it's a test. Allah is testing the rich to see if they can be grateful or not. And He's testing the poor to see if they can be patient or not. That does not mean that Allah has a strong covenant with the rich to remain rich all their lives. And there's no reason to assume that the poor will remain poor for the rest of their lives. But you have to do your part to pursue the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed there for you. You need to take the right course of action and do it halal and do it right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. It is He who created the subhanahu wa ta'ala خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ, generation after generation. وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. He kept raising you one rank above the other. His ranks above the other. For what reason? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. So He will test you and try you what He has given you subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who divides us in the way that's who subhanahu wa ta'ala, His plan is divine plan. قال الله عز وجل أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك. It is they who divide the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speaking about this, قال تعالى نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم. Allah says that He is the one who divides and He is the one who distributes this rizq. معيشت بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا. In this dunya. And He said, ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات. And we raised them one level above the other, rank above the other, for a very simple reason. ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا. So that they might employ one another. Imagine everybody is rich. Who's going to work the what we consider low pay jobs? Imagine everybody is poor. Who's going to be leading the ummah and create civilization and do what Allah sent us here for? عَمَارَةُ الْأَرْضِ. So that we create this and we use these resources in the best way possible, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. Ibadallah. So we know that's our test. So what if you think you're poor and Allah wants you to be poor? Allah does not want you to be poor for the rest of your life. He's just testing you to show how patient you can be. But He's giving you opportunities to look for, to increase. And if Allah has given you wealth so that you enjoy this dunya, That does not mean that you hold it back from sharing it with those who are less fortunate. Allah is testing you to see if you're going to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Therefore, one of the principles of rizq for the Muslims is it has haqqun lil faqir. The poor has a right in your wealth. This right we call it as zakah. We call it as zakah. And the Prophet says, as zakatu haqqul mal. As zakat is the right of the poor in your money and your wealth. And it's only 2.5%. Imagine, it's only 2.5%. If you really care about this haqq of the faqir, you would not wait for anybody to remind you. You would be looking for the time and the opportunity to give it away because you believe that is indeed haqq of the faqir. Therefore, ya ibadallah, another principle that is very important, that when you pursue this rizq, pursue it in a halal way. Don't you know you're going to be questioned on Judgment Day? Before you move your feet from standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway, you are going to be questioned. And these simple questions, five questions, one of them is, where did you get the money from? Your money that you earned in this dunya. Where did you get it from? وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقْ. And where did you spend? Where did you spend that money, that ni'mah that Allah blessed you with? You are going to be asked these questions. And Allah says, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. You can't be questioned about what He does subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you shall be questioned and asked about everything you've done. Ibadallah, make sure what you earn halal. Now I'll give you, inshallah ta'ala, five sources or five resources from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that can increase your wealth and your money without having to take another job. Without having to increase the hours of your job and working. No, from the Quran and the Sunnah. And you don't have to claim them in your tax return application. And it's legal and it's halal. Number one, the first source of income that you should look for. Number one, at-taqwa, righteousness. Righteousness and piety. How come? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Anyone, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you truly fear Allah azza wa jal, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, Allah shall provide for you exits from sources that you don't even imagine. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, He will bring ease from every difficulty for you and provide for you from sources you don't count on. From sources you're not aware of even, but it will come. And I just heard that subhanAllah yesterday. One brother, he said the same thing. He gave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instantly Allah provide for them scholarship. Full scholarship. MashaAllah. You give money in one hand, Allah provide in the other hand. It's coming from sources you're not even counting on. But if you have that belief, you have it in your heart, and you work on the path of piety and righteousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall provide for you. Number two, the second source. The second source, al-istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala Allah azza wa jalla, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, his people. He was speaking to his people and he said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا قَالَ فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ. He said to his people, استغفر ربكم, seek his forgiveness. Say astaghfirullah, that's what he's asking for them to say. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا, he's off forgiveness subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result of your constant seeking of his forgiveness, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا, he sent the rain in abundance to you. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ, the rain for a greater society back then means what? Means wealth, vegetation, farming. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. If you provide you with wealth and with children and with civilization, eventually you establish economies by seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, the third source of income, ash-shukr, being grateful to Allah azza wa jalla, being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Didn't Allah azza wa jalla say, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Didn't he say, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah vowed, Allah promised you, that if you show your gratitude to me, if you're grateful, if you're thankful, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I shall increase my ni'mah upon you. You be grateful, show that gratitude to Allah azza wa jalla in action, and you will see how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you in return. Number four, the fourth source of income, which is a paradox source, al-infaq, giving away, to give charity. You will say, but I'm losing money over here. No, you're not losing money. In our perception as humans, yeah, the figures are coming down. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال الله عز وجل, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. So whatever you give for charity, فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ, he shall give back. And he says that he's reminding me and you, وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, and he's the best of those who provide. Which means, you give me, I'll give you back. I promise I'll give you back. And remember, you're dealing with the one who is the most generous subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who provides the best. So you can expect how much you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, the last source of income that we share with you in this khutbah, at-tawakkul ala Allah. Full dependence and reliance on Allah azza wa jalla. What does that exactly mean? That's a whole topic by itself that it needs to be covered in khutbah, not just one khutbah. But the bottom line of tawakkul, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is having that strong belief that is indeed, it's all in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I need to do my part so I can get what Allah promised he will give. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرُ تَرْضُ فِي مَصْرٍ وَتَبُوكُ بِالْغَانِ. He says, if you just put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you fully put your trust in Allah azza wa jalla, He shall provide for you like He does to the birds. In the morning, every day in the morning, they leave their nest empty stomach. They come back full stomach. Our culture today is difficult and different. I wish it was that easy, right? The hunting pack, you sleep in the morning, you go and you grab whatever you get from the forest, and you come back home to cook it, alhamdulillah, you survive for another day. I wish it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. But if you put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah shall provide for you. You need to do that. You need to make sure that you remember these sources. You remember that's the tough one. And you see, forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're always grateful and thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla, showing you gratitude by giving and sharing it with others less fortunate. And as you do so, you have your full trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give back. If you do so, I guarantee you, you'll enjoy this life inshaAllah ta'ala comfortably in this dunya and in the akhirah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم أما بعد عباد الله. How important it is really to care for what you earn, how you earn it, and what you spend, how you spend it. How important that is. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ذكر في الحديث الصحيح. Wallahi, this hadith is one of the scariest hadith to me. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال رب أشعث أرضا. رب أشعث أرضا. Perhaps you've seen someone who's dusty and shriveled. And this person, meaning he was on the road for so long, traveling, did not get a chance for recreation, for taking a shower, so he has been on the road for so long. يَمُدْ يُعَيْهِ السَّمَاءِ, raising his hand to the sama, the sky, heaven. يَقُولُ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ, which means he's distressed. In a situation of this, he's help and assistance. And the ulama, they say in the commentary of this hadith, anybody deserves help and assistance will be a man of such situation. He's a traveler, he's a stranger, expatriate, no friends, no support, nothing, and he's dusty and shivered, been on the road for so long, and he raises his hand because he knows no one's going to help him but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone's called, they're going to be answered. Should be a man like this. Rasulullah says, he raises his hand, he's saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, my Lord, my Lord. And then he said, wa makaluhu ta'am, wa makaluhu haram. His food is haram. Wa mashrabuhu haram. His drink is haram. Wa malbasuhu haram. And his clothes, haram. Wa wudhiya bil haram. Nutrition is all haram. Fa anna yastajabu lahu. How do you expect his call to be answered? It is indeed, wallahi, dangerous speaking. Allah still gives and He answers the call subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the one who isn't indulgent. However, just thinking on that, this is very, very dangerous statement. We live in an economy that unfortunately is very entangled with halal and haram. Many of us will have 401ks and we just live instead of denial, not knowing where the money goes and what it brings to us. Many of us will go to school and simply because the system works like this, we take student loans, not knowing if it's halal or haram. Or doing this or that, many engagements, even using credit cards. And we just think because the system works that way, so it should be okay. Is everything we do right? That is the question that we need to answer. It is very crucial, wallahi, for the Muslim ummah, as individuals, to learn the basics at least. The basics of what is halal, what is haram. The basic of your transactions, making sure that what you practice is acceptable and Allah will be pleased. I'm coming here to sit in this community, inshallah, the city actually, for 2 weeks. In teaching this class, the fiqh of money and transaction, hopefully will bring awareness among the Muslims so that they earn halal and they also spend halal. And as a result of that, I hope that we will help the entire international and global economy and society to realize how we can really earn in the right way and also spend in the right way. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم اغننا بحلالك عن حرامك وبفضلك عمن سواك اللهم اغننا بحلالك عن حرامك وبفضلك عما سواه عباد الله ان الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين ابي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابه اجمعين ومن تبعهم باحسان الى يوم الدين واقم الصلاه